So have you ever gone on a curious journey? Like a very curious journey. One where you really weren't sure about it. You really weren't sure about that journey, but it proved to be really good for you. Years ago, I was personally invited by a professor I'd had during college. He was feared and revered. A quirky mix of eclectic, witty, tough as nails. In fact, students called him Iron Joe. It's a funny name, but it fit him well. There were whispers, though. Whispers about Iron Joe. Whispers that he could be tender like a teddy bear. If you got him in a different environment than college, university area. I wondered about it. He showed up at my office one day. Office door, stood there. I was going to grad school at the time. I was working at the college I had gone to. And he just stood there in the door for a moment and he stared at me. And he said, "Pletcher, you should come to Israel with me next year. Come see the Holy Land. Come see Christ's land, the land of Jesus. You need to come," he said. "It will be good for you," Iron Joe said. Now, about this point, I know I had that skeptical look all over my face. Trips like that are expensive, inconvenient, time-consuming, and they mess with you, like mess with your soul. Iron Joe was reading my mind. He was seeing right through me. He stared a little deeper, and then he said to me, "You need to go. It will be expansive for your heart. It will mark your future. You need to go. It will change you." He grinned. And he said, "Talk to Nance. Figure out how to do it, how to make it happen. Do whatever it takes. Rob a bank." My professor was telling me to rob a bank. He walked away. 5 months later, I was in Bethlehem with Iron Joe, and no banks were harmed in the process. Here's your invitation. Your invitation into our Advent journey. Your invitation to come to Bethlehem during Christmas time 2021. St. Matthew wonderfully captured your invitation with these lines, Matthew 2, 1 and 2. Will you read them with me? Let's read them aloud. Let's read them out loud. "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" Behold, there's your invitation. Behold. Come near, watch, pay attention, watch, be on the alert. So consider this morning your personal invitation. I've got to tell you, this journey will be extra good for you if you've ever felt rather uninvited. Have you ever felt rather uninvited? Most of us have at some point or another. This journey will be really good for you if you've felt overdone on social distancing. Anybody else overdone on social distancing? Yeah. We still got to do it in spots, but oh, man. And so a journey like this where we draw close with Jesus and with others will actually be good for us. This will be good for you, this journey, if you've felt frosty, chilled with fear and anxious thoughts. Lots of us have wrestled with that. It'll be really good for you if you felt overly familiar with the Christmas story, almost like some song on repeat, like that local radio station that is all proud of Christmas music, but man, it's like the same 12 songs over and over and over again. And some of us end up feeling like that about Christmas altogether, overly familiar. The journey will be really good for you if you've felt a blend of curious and skeptical, but then pretty grumpy about it all. And if we're honest, there's a way in which the season can bring out the grump. It'll be a good journey for you if you've felt on the fringe spiritually. If you feel like you're out there on the fringe spiritually, wishing you could be closer, but it'd be really good for you if you felt compelled and drawn and pulled toward God, but you know you need more guidance. This journey will be good for you. It'll be really good for you if you've not been feeling much of anything, just kind of grown numb, and that's a bunch of us, just kind of grown numb. So you're invited. You're invited, and it's bound to be expansive for your heart and your future. So here we go. These magi traveled on camels, possibly even elephants. They were turban-wearing kings. They took a long, long, and dangerous journey. There were three of these wise guys, and they joined the shepherds at the stable. Are you sure? Really? Actually, none of these statements are stated in Matthew's account. None of them. Here's extraneous material, colorful elements we've come to assume as part of the wise men's story. Each of these is collective conjecture formulated across the centuries by a variety of individuals and sources outside the biblical documents. Today, such images show up in beautifully crafted nativity scenes, creches like we have out in our foyer, which is indeed beautiful. But the likes of this stuff shows up there. Christmas time storybooks and church Christmas pageants. Such features accompany children wearing bathrobes and Burger King crowns and glitter bedazzled pipe cleaner halos. Who in the world were these travelers? Really? It's a question cloaked in mystery for the better part of two millennia. So much of what we think we know as truth about the wise men is largely the stuff of legend, lore, and myth. Many of the fanciful trappings have emerged over time, like the evolution of Santa Claus. What we do know is that various regions of the ancient world had magi. Scholar Grant Osborne says they served as a priestly caste. This is what Osborne says. They were a priestly caste of magicians and astrologers who were wise in interpreting the stars. Hence, wise men. It's solid for us to consider their potential origins. From where did these wise men actually come? Many researchers have concluded that they came from Persia, often hearkening back to the Babylonian and Medo-Persian empires in the days of the prophet Daniel. Gifted individuals served as highly ranking officials. Individuals in Babylon. Working in mighty kings' courts, the magi were skilled in science, agriculture, mathematics, history, and religion. And so upon the prophet Daniel's interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, hundreds of years prior to the original events of Advent, the king appointed him, Daniel 2:48 says, ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Daniel 2:48. So the assumption has been that Daniel likely influenced them with the message of a coming glorious king. Hence, at the time of Jesus' birth, they traveled from Babylon to Jerusalem. Babylon, or a region known as Parthia, and arriving in Jerusalem, the Magi assumed everyone must know where this baby king had been born. This particular explanation for the wise men carries serious merit and sounds quite convincing. Other biblical scholars locate these wise ones' home region as the Arabian Peninsula, specifically the region closer to the eastern side of Israel, a neighboring region that included nearby Petra. With this view, the inhabitants of this region were Nabateans. The Nabateans, they were a melting pot of people whose origins included linkage to the patriarch Abraham and numerous other nationalities. Customs and worship practices of the Nabateans involved a vast array of religious perspectives. They held keen interest and openness to Jewish ways. There are even links found in those dusty scroll collections by the Essenes at Qumran. Yes, the Dead Sea Scrolls. In such recent scholarship, researchers have uncovered intriguing evidence for these Magi living much closer than Persia, Babylon, Parthia, the Arabian Peninsula. This branch of wise men possibly migrated in prior centuries from the Babylonian and Persian regions. There's solid indication such magi were active in the Nabatean region during the time of Jesus' birth. As thrilling as it might be to sort through what's myth and what's truth, and as fascinating as it is to hunt for their country of origin, we must be honest. Matthew's account is silent. When it comes to their actual launching point, we just really don't know with absolute certainty from where they came. But what can we know with confidence? What can we know with confidence? Our sacred lines in verse 1 assure us with three insights. Our sacred lines here in verse 1, these ancient, historically reliable lines in verse 1 can build our confidence with these three insights. First, they were magi. They were magi. That means their background was an eclectic mix. The nature and role of the Magi was mixed, well-learned, even magical and mysterious. They were sort of religious, sort of scientific, sort of agricultural and astrological. They were people known for a whole lot of sort of. When it came to their pursuits, passions and practices, they were highly eclectic. Maybe you're a whole lot of sort of. Are you eclectic? Yeah. Whole mix of interests, expertise, and even some real dashes of mystery about you. Some of you are grinning because you know you are. Some of you are sitting near somebody like that. If that's you and people you know, great. Most of us are. Take heart this season. You are a solid candidate for searching for Jesus. If you're a whole lot of sorta with a mix of interests and backgrounds and passions and that's you, great. You're qualified to search for Jesus. They were magi. There's a second insight. They came from the east. They came from the east. Now, we know for certain that doesn't mean Jersey or the Carolinas. As we've already noted, we don't know precisely their geographical homeland, but we do know they were outsiders, not of pure-blooded Jewish descent. Virtually everything included in this story backs such a conclusion. But they're included in Matthew's gospel story. The immediate context shows us radical inclusion of outsiders all across the centuries in Jesus' family tree. Matthew chapter 1 shows us. The immediate context right before this shows us Jesus' family tree. Jesus' surprising lineage reads like something straight off Ancestry.com. If you've messed with any of that or, done some kind of your own personal exploration about your background or you've done it on your dog, you know the crazy mix that can show up and you go, whoa. I love what Gail Godwin says about Jesus' genealogy pointing to grace. Gail Godwin says this, God does not necessarily select the noblest or most deserving person to carry out divine purposes. Godwin says, Matthew's genealogy is showing us how the story of Jesus Christ contained and would continue to contain the flawed and inflicted and insulted, the cunning and the weak-willed and the misunderstood. Godwin says, his is an equal opportunity ministry for crooks and saints. If so much powerful stuff can have been accomplished down through the millennia by wastrels, betrayers, and outcasts, and through people who were such complex mixtures of sinner and saint, and through so many obscure and undistinguished others, isn't that a pretty hopeful testament to the likelihood that God is using us with our individual flaws and gifts in all manner of peculiar and unexpected ways. And then Godwin punches home her point like this. Who of us can say, we're not in the process of being used right now, this Advent, to fulfill some purpose whose grace and goodness would boggle our imagination if we could begin to get our minds around it. I ain't think on that. So while Matthew is writing to a largely Jewish audience, one of his special aims was to help them understand God's greater mission. His greater mission, close to home. His greater mission, globally. Jesus wasn't just for Jews. Was he for Jews? Absolutely. But not just for them. The message of King Jesus' saving love and gracious work for us. It was and still is available to everyone, everywhere. What better place to start than with a mysterious gaggle of magi from a mysterious, unidentified place? Very real, albeit very mysterious people from a land of the East, people from the East in search of the Messiah, the baby king. Don't miss out. No matter where you're from, you can be included. No matter where you're from, no matter your background, you can be included in King Jesus' story of good news. Whether you feel like you're already in this morning, or whether you feel like you're way out there somewhere, you can be included in the story of good news. Jesus, King Jesus' story of good news. This story is for people like you, people like us. There's a third insight. Yes, they were magi. And yes, they came from the East. But don't miss it. They came to Jerusalem. They came to Jerusalem. Now, while we don't know where they came from, we do know where they were headed. What a special city, the holy city, capital of Israel. What's so special about Jerusalem? So many things. But just a few might have stood out to the Magi. Classic tradition saw this as the same locale as Abraham's region of Moriah, Mount Moriah, Genesis 22. Genesis 22, what a poignant story. It's here Abraham's obedience was tested with the command to sacrifice his only son, the one he so dearly loved, the ancient story tells us. And at the culmination of Abraham's obedience, the angel told him, note this, through your offspring, all the nations on earth will be blessed. Genesis 22, 18. That would include mysterious magi and eventually you and me. Jerusalem was the location Moses spoke about centuries before as the special place of God's choosing, that sacred place for worship and sacrifice, Deuteronomy chapter 12. And sacred lines of biblical tradition reveal this mountain region was David's special purchase, the threshing floor on which he made his costly sacrifice, 2 Samuel 24. Someday, this same Jerusalem would become an ultimate destination. The grown-up king would make his own trek to the place of loving sacrifice, destined to give the greatest gift, his life, for the likes of Magi and the likes of you and me. Let's see one Magi reflect. Let's just watch how one Magi might have reflected. Watch this. So I'll urge you, invite you, behold, to consider a couple Advent reflection questions. Advent reflection questions in light of Matthew 2 this morning. First, what fascinates you most about the Magi? What fascinates you most? Go ahead, be fascinated. They're a ragtag mix of people. So let your heart and soul be fascinated. And second reflection question, how are you stirred by God's inclusion of people from such an eclectic mix of backgrounds? How does that stir you? And I'll invite, here's that behold invitation. To take these steps on the journey of searching this Advent. These steps on the journey. First, like the Magi, deliberately step into a searching mindset and method for this 2021 Christmas time. You know how this works. You know how this works. Guys, out in your garage, when you can't find that one certain tool that you were given as a gift, and that thing, you know it, well, it might be expensive, it might not be all that expensive, but you can't find it, and what? You're gonna turn the garage upside down. And you ladies, you do it in the kitchen. I watch my own wife do this in the kitchen. It's like, where is that? And what do? You immediately adopt a mindset and a method to search it out. This season, I urge you, I invite you, behold, I welcome you to set out to discover Jesus like never before. Several ideas for how to do that. Several ideas. If you don't have one already, get your own copy of our little travel guide, our book we've created to go in tandem with this series. Some of you have one already. If you haven't gotten one, they're available out at the info station today. They're free. Grab one, please. They'll be available at the party tonight as well. Grab one and travel along with us. Daily readings. Use it personally and potentially with others in your family. Read each day starting this week. Aim to be in the mix every Sunday for worship during Advent. Yeah. I want to challenge you. Either in person, here, or online, Make a fresh, holy habit this season. To borrow from Iron Joe, it will be good for you. Fresh, holy habit. Join in every Sunday of Advent. Aim to be in the mix. Aim for a few other special spots, like the concert next Sunday, which is going to be tremendous in the afternoon. And our Christmas Eve services on December 23rd and 24th. If you've ever been here for one, you know it is a can't-miss time. Start thinking about whom you're inviting and who's coming with you to be a part of that. Just some times to settle in and lock on and ponder deeper and get involved on the journey. Like the Magi, step into a searching mindset and method for this Christmas time. Here's the second step I urge you, invite you to take. Like the Magi, deliberately join others on the journey. Deliberately join others on the journey. Consider others you'll invite to your search party. After all, no one's excluded. I mean, look at the Magi, this ragtag eclectic group from a foreign land. Nobody's excluded, really. And that's the nature of grace, really. As long as someone wants to join into the journey, they're invited. Do you really believe that? Do we really believe that? So how about 3 to 5 different people? 3 to 5 different people, maybe coworkers, maybe neighbors, maybe family members. And in the coming weeks and early months of 2022, one of our joyous impact points we're aiming for as a church together is to restart lovingly, intentionally connecting with 300 plus people very personally in good and safe and healthy friendship ways. To connect with 300 plus people in loving, good news friendships. All of us. Now, here's where, honestly, we choose to be very intentionally inviting more people, new people, inviting them into our events together. Help more people encounter Jesus-style love. And we're talking the stuff of everyday life, like meals and sporting events and game nights and other activities. And yes, certainly things inside these walls, but even more importantly, in the rhythms of everyday life out there. Jesus' style of love. Now, I'm going to invite you to do something bold this morning. I'm going to invite you, if you're here in person, to grab 2 stars nearby you. There are stars there on the seats. If you haven't grabbed them yet, grab 2 stars. And if you're online, if you're joining with us in church online today and you want stars, tell your host right there in the chat field. We will get you stars early this week. And here's what I want to invite you, urge you, behold, urge you to do. Think of 3 to 5 people and write their names, duplicate. On both stars. Write their names, duplicate. And then take one of the stars with you and put the other star out on the journey table in the lobby where the wise men and the elephants and the fun characters are on the journey table. And here's why I invite you to do that with one of your stars. Because just like you'll take one of these and be very intentional, thoughtful, prayerful in the coming weeks about cultivating those healthy, safe, good news, Jesus-oriented friendships, our leaders here, our prayer team, our core leaders here at Manor will be praying actively over that table, those stars, wherever we see these show up around here. We're going to be vibrantly praying with you and partnering with you in prayer. As God loves to work when we partner together in making friends toward Jesus. Here's a third step, and we'll be done. Third, finally, eagerly step into the bigger story of Jesus. Eagerly step into the bigger story of Jesus. Let me play Iron Joe for a minute. I'm stirring on the very real potential of a literal trip to Jesus' land in the next 12 to 24 months. Who wants to go? It will be good for you. Truly. It will be expensive and expansive, more importantly, expansive. If you'd like to consider joining me and others, let's talk. Talk to me. Let me know. I'll get you more info. It's just in the early stages of thinking and dreaming and planning toward it. But there's an even bigger, more important step to take in the bigger story. Here it is. Tell Jesus today that you sincerely want to open your heart like never before to truly find him, to search him out and to find him this season. Tell him that this morning. Discovering him really requires a wise posture of heart. So I'm going to urge you, invite you. Here's your behold. My urge, my invitation to you is to pray like this as you explore. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. The team's going to come to lead us in a closing song that stirs our hearts toward him. And as they're getting ready and as you're standing up, I want to invite you to pray something like this. In your own words, something like this. So I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes and make this your own prayer, your own Advent prayer as we launch into Advent today. Lord, today I ask you to open my heart more and more to your grace. Jesus, today, open my heart more and more to your love and life change. Lord, I want to search and find you this season. So please open my heart more and more to your grace, love, and life change. And Lord, please open my heart to people who are the they or others. They may be nothing like me or the people around me. They may be of a different political persuasion. They may be a different race, religion, or culture. Open my heart to them, Lord. Lord, please open my heart. It could be they have tragic physical or tragic mental difficulties. Please open my heart, Lord. The others may be very gifted and highly educated too. Perhaps they will dress different and seem to have strange practices. Oh Lord, open my heart. They might seem like aliens to me. I know, Jesus, I don't have to agree with the others or become just like them. Please help me. I do need to respect them, not be judgmental. And yes, Lord, help me. Help me show them your love. I need to show them the way to you, King Jesus. If I met the Magi on a street in town today, would I scoff, feel repulsed, and avoid them? Oh God, create in me a heart for others. Because this is like you, Jesus. Please make me more like you today.